And there's this thing, if God doesn't come through, he'll look foolish. And he actually, one point, he had a word, and he called a whole group of people up for a very specific healing. And he wanted to demonstrate to us. You know, like nine people came up, and he said, if you have pain right here, and he had a word of knowledge, he had the pain right there. So he said, okay, this is so strong, come up. I want people to see how this works. Well, out of the nine, none of them had the pain right then. They had it, you know. And then this other guy comes up, and he works through him, and he did everything he could do. And he said, well, I've done all I can do. And I'm just going to have to let God take you from there. So it didn't exactly look like you would have thought it wanted to work out, but he was okay with that. That was the reality of that conference. The Lord brought Pat and I both back to simplicity. So I want to use Psalm 23. I can't read it all. You all know it. But I want to point out a couple things. Water. He leads me beside quiet waters. The literal translation of that is waters of rest. And the Lord's been dealing with me about resting from my labors, and I'm talking about the spiritual, trying to work in the kingdom, trying to serve God. I've wanted to do something. It's my human nature to be productive. One of the personal words I got was, it's okay to be like a child in God's kingdom. I have a granddaughter who's three. She's just coming in that place where she wants to help us. You know, she'll put the pillowcases on, or she'll set the table. And I've been that way with God. I want to help him. Well, at my age, that doesn't look good all the time. You know, I'm trying to help God. You know, the authority is his. Back to Acts 2:36. He has the authority. The anointing is his. You know, in my walk, because I've been an orphan, because so much of my life I was separated, I wasn't raised in the church, I was responsible for my own protection, my own provision. And I can say the right thing in my mind. I know all the script, but in my heart I function with the authority's mine. I'm going to make this thing happen. You know, well, God's been very gracious and kind to me in so many ways, but I'm in a place now where that season that he's brought Pat and I out of, what used to work in the kingdom, what used to work, doesn't work anymore. Because he's saying, when you were a child, you talked as a child and you walked as a child, and I blessed you as a child. Now that you're older, there's a shift and there's a change. Now, that's talking both out of both sides of my mouth, because he wants me to be childlike, not childish. I don't know what's going on either. There's a change. The wind is changing. But I was refreshed up there. The waters of refreshing washed over me. I didn't feel like I had to get a word. I didn't feel like I had to do anything. I didn't have to jump up and down. I was free to do something or do nothing, and just to enjoy God. And that brings us back to the highest catechism. We are to glorify God and enjoy him, and that's all I did, was went there to enjoy the Lord. Before I was a Christian, I worked hard at enjoying myself. And all of the counterfeit things that the enemy and the world system gives us, and they're pleasurable for just a short period of time, and then the pain and then the cost of our own choices and actions. But with God, he blesses and he doesn't add anything bad with it. I gotta move along. I was refreshed. But then when Pastor John said, I'd like you to share your experience, the Lord, this week as I was contemplating, I really believe the Holy Spirit took me on a little trip through the Bible with water, the wedding feast water turned to wine. We had a really good time up there. And when the water of God's Word washed over us, and when we were listening to the water of the Word, the Lord changed that into wine a couple times. And you wouldn't want it, a little video of watching us in those little moments of joy and intoxication. It was intoxicating. Let me leave it there. But so the wedding, and then the well, the woman at the well, and God's love. What God saw, a woman who was an outcast in her town, God saw as a woman who was looking for love, and he loved her, and he met her in a very personal way. The Lord met Pat and I, he met us in a very personal way at this conference. The stirring of the water, I looked that up. To stir in the Webster's, I just ripped the page out because I thought it was neat. To stir was one of our daughters, she used in school. To stir means to agitate. I could go off on a rabbit trail right here with that and be all spiritual about it, but I'm going to just let that go so, just to show you I can. Stirring. Thank you, Gene, for your prayer. Stirring means, let me read that. Stirring. Intensely exciting, active and lively, rousing and thrilling. There's some words to describe what we experienced at this conference. When Jesus walked into that pool of Bethesda, when there was a stirring in the water, there was healing available. So I just went through this process, and I just enjoyed it. The Lord took me there. It's like a little Bible trip, you know, and I was like, wow, Lord, water. And we're washed by the water of the Word. You know, and there was a washing there for us and a cleansing. I felt cleansed and washed and refreshed. I was refreshed. I'm going to leave that. I'm going to jump down to He restores my soul. There was restoration for us in areas where we needed restoration. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Some of the things that Larry talked about was his own personal life, and I identified with him greatly. Where we differ was he was raised, his father was a pastor. He was from Arkansas, and the way he told it, I think he was poor. They didn't have inside plumbing. I grew up not in the church, but I didn't have inside plumbing, so I identified with him there. He uses humor, and his medicine. Here's a guy, I think he's related to Morningstar Ministry, Rick Joyner, and he uses humor, and I understand that. When you're insecure and there's a concern about rejection, which I believe we all have because of our father, Adam. We're all in that family, that ugly Adam's family, as one person said, that we were born in the wrong family. And, you know, there's good news. We have to change, and we can become. The good news is the authority that God brought. He sent that, you know, the God, one that was sent to save, they killed, but that was God's plan all along. What the enemy meant for harm, God meant for good. Even though we killed Jesus so much time in life, he was sent to die for us so that we might have that life and become a part of God's family. He was sent by the Father to bring us out of that ugly Adam's family into the family of our Father. And the way is open for every one of us. All we have to do is not repent. If you're not in the kingdom, once you're a son of God, you repent for your sins. Before that, you just repent for being in the wrong family and say, I don't like this family that I've been. This worldly mess and all that. I just want to be in God's family. And that's repentance. And he says, sure, as many as received him, he gave the power, the authority to become his sons and daughters. So anybody that wants that, it's open for all of us. I've received it hundreds of times. I've been in and out of the family. Well, I really haven't, but I won't go there. I will end up with this. I will close with this chapter. I know we would need to be out of here by 4 o'clock, so. Mark, I can't. I've been meditating on you all week. We talked a little bit last week, and Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like a fire, like a hammer? You are a mighty man of God. That's just what God's excited about you, and he wants me to know that you're a mighty man of God, and you're like a hammer. It's a very specific. If you don't hit that nail right where it's supposed to be hit, it hurts. God's mark is on you, Mark. So we're passing through from one season to another, and it can be painful. Larry was very vulnerable. He, even in his weakness, he was the closest thing that I've ever seen, like Paul when he came to Corinth and said, I came to you in fear and weakness, because Larry had to stop his first message and say, I'm having heart palpitations. Talk among yourselves, and the elders came up, or the other leaders came up and prayed for him. He says, I got this thing that's going on in me, and I don't like it, you know. And he talked about his brother-in-law who was going to, you know, had a terrible life. He had been in the church. They had baptized him. They'd cast out demons. They'd prayed for his healing, everything he went through. But he finally was going to commit suicide, and he had a heart attack and died by the grace of God, so it would have, because the family wouldn't have been able to deal with that. So Larry was talking about, we got all this power. We look for all these things and everything. We do everything the Bible tells us to do. But what's missing is love, true godly love. And love takes time, and it's messy. And I repent. And that really convicted me, because I have run and I have hidden from God in my workplace because it was comfortable for me. And I have not allowed myself to take the time to get involved with the mess and let God love people, because he has loved me. And there were people, a few people got involved with the mess of my life so that I could go through the transition from where I was to where God wanted me to be. And when I was in my worst place that I could ever be, after I had become a Christian and thought everything's going to be good now, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I was in my worst place, and I said, Lord, I couldn't even forgive for months. I said, Lord, if you'll meet me where I am, and it's not in a good place, I'll go where you want me to be. And he met me there, and he comforted me, and he saved me. So there's this transition, and there's a lot more that the Lord's unpacked for me, but there's a transition through that process of the shadow of death where we really find his life. There's so much more. God bless you.
It's so cool to have the Lord do so much for you that there's not time to tell it all. Missy, could you come on up here? I love my wife so much. And as a husband, I have to guard her heart. So when certain shows come on TV, I'm not allowed to let her watch those, particularly political shows. Because she is a very conservative woman. And when she hears people get up and just say stupid things, she gets bad. Scripture says it's better to live in the corner of the house or the corner of a roof than to dwell in the house with an angry woman. And so I figured I either got to make myself really comfortable in the corner of the roof or really just watch what programs I let her watch. So instead she falls asleep to, you know, open knee surgery on these medical shows. I walk in the room, I'm ready for, oh my gosh, what's on TV? There's guts and blood. And she's like, that's just some medical show. I'm almost better to let her watch the politics. Anyway, nevertheless, in her zeal and fire for truth and justice, she's always sensed something in her that nevertheless tempered that. And what God ministered to her at this conference really affirmed that for her. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. And so why don't you go ahead and share that, sweetheart?